Welcome to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. There are dozens and dozens of television shows dedicated to real estate. There are the renovation fix-up type shows.
Today on Ask This Old House.
Bath Crash Creation.
Property Brothers.
That's a wrap on the brothers.
I'm Tarek. This is my wife, Christina, and we're real estate agents.
Coming up on Rehab Addict.
On this special episode of the Vanilla Ice Project, we announce the winners of this year's first...
Yes, even Vanilla Ice is in on the renovation television game. From our kitchens to decks, there's probably a TV reality show dedicated to seeing how others fix up their homes. Then there are the vicarious real estate TV shows having us tag along as others go shopping for property.
Bonnie and Rob have toured 3 million-dollar-plus vacation homes in Key West.
An all-new million-dollar listing Los Angeles Wednesday night at 9.
And she wants to buy the quintessential American home.
Previously on Million-Dollar Listing Miami.
House Hunters, House Hunters International, Beachfront Bargain, Million-Dollar Listing New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Million-Dollar Decorators, House Crashers, Bath Crashers, Yard Crashers. Nearly all of these real estate reality TV shows are about homes. No one makes a real estate reality TV show about an office building or a shopping mall or a warehouse.
Yeah, it would be too boring.
No one would watch a show about checking out elevator certificates, looking through leases, and forecasting parking rates. Mike Fisk there, he may think commercial real estate doesn't hold enough excitement for a television show, but it holds plenty of drama here in South Florida. Now, Fisk works for the financial services giant TIAA CREFT. That's short for Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association College Retirement Equities Fund. Fisk helps invest in commercial real estate in the Southeast U.S. for the retirement accounts of teachers, college professors, and millions of others. And when he buys a property here, it comes with a hefty price tag, maybe $100 million or more. In 2015, according to the South Florida Business Journal, there were 16 real estate deals in the region of more than $100 million, including a deal Fisk did for an apartment complex in Fort Lauderdale. Now, he'll tell us about that deal later on in this program. From an entire block of retail buildings on Lincoln Road in Miami Beach to office buildings in West Palm Beach, last year was a booming year for commercial real estate throughout South Florida. Record low interest rates, political and economic trouble in Latin America, and the boundless buzz about South Florida around the world helped fuel the deals and the increasing dollars behind them. So can it continue? Well, plainly speaking, is it a bubble? We put that question to three veteran players in commercial real estate, three people with different roles in the commercial real estate business here. You've heard from the buyer already.
My name is Mike Fisk, and my title is Senior Director and Manager with TIAA CREFT, based here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So Fisk is our buyer.
Carlos Rosso, and I am the president of the condominium division at Related Group.
Rosso is our builder. The Related Group delivered 12,000 condos for sale and rent last year. It expects to finish 9,000 more this year. And the banker?
Yeah, I'm John Canis. I'm chairman and CEO of Bank United.
Now, while Bank United does not lend money to build buildings, it lends millions of dollars to buyers of buildings. We spoke with them individually about the year ahead for commercial real estate here in South Florida, and all three voiced a level of reserved optimism that the good times will continue.
I called it before the Viagra cycle.
We are guardedly optimistic for this next coming year.
The beat goes on.
It's going to be a very interesting year.
Florida is sort of what I would consider to be in a sweet spot.
So far, no red lights going off.
We'll talk about what may be some of those yellow lights. What are the green lights out there for commercial real estate in the year ahead here in South Florida? Still to come, the careful confidence in commercial real estate from the veteran banker.
One would not expect these values to continue to appreciate at this rate indefinitely.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. We're talking about commercial real estate in South Florida. The housing market gets plenty of attention, and for good cause. Our homes are where we live, and probably our biggest investment, and our biggest debt. Commercial real estate, office buildings, apartment complexes, shopping malls, warehouses, those are big dollar deals involving the places where we work and shop. Like buying a home, the buying and selling of these commercial properties can use borrowed money. That can mean banks. John Canis is a banker who's seen a lot of real estate ups and downs. He's been managing banks since the mid-1970s. He's chairman and CEO of Bank United now, a big source of borrowed money for commercial real estate deals here in South Florida.
The real estate market started to improve, really driven largely by Latin America, particularly in the early stages, Brazil. They helped to sop up the excess supply of condominiums, particularly along the Brickell Strip. But that got the attention of the rest of the world, and now investors from New York and other parts of this country, and in fact Europe, have been attracted to South Florida and are continuing to fuel an impressive growth.
Those foreign buyers that came in and really helped prop up, if not save, the residential market in 2010, 2011, did so without the need of bankers like yourself, John. They didn't need the loans, the mortgage loans necessarily, to be able to save real estate because they were using cash.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what's so impressive about this, that we don't know how many units got sold along Brickell, but everybody throws numbers around, and there probably was, as people say, 10 or 15,000 units that got sopped up during that period. I don't think we financed one, and I don't think other banks did either. People put up real money.
In the meantime, we've seen the condominium construction boom continuing and beginning to spill over into some of the other commercial real estate areas, the office, retail, industrial warehousing out near the airports, for instance. And that is being done in some cases with some borrowed money. And finally, the banks like Bank United have some business to do.
Yeah, that's right. We still do not participate in the high-rise condominium business on the construction loan, one or two in the whole bank. But the fact that that business is doing so well is spawning all of the satellite industries that revolve around real estate and all of the services that revolve around real estate, and that is our sweet spot. So all of our customers are doing very well, largely as a result of the recovery in real estate.
Your loan portfolio is about 3/4 commercial loans, though. And so with that kind of weighting in terms of the concentration in commercial loans, and a chunk of that is in commercial real estate, that stable environment that you are forecasting for 2016, is it stable but slowing?
We haven't. People talk about that a lot, Tom, and there's a lot written about, you know, is the South Florida market slowing down? We have not seen any anecdotal evidence of that. I'm not saying that it's not slowing down. It may, in fact, be. But we don't see it yet. There's no evidence finding its way to us that would indicate that.
You're not in the building lending business, but you are in the transaction of commercial real estate, the buying and selling of existing buildings. What does that business tell you?
That business has been very healthy. And what we've seen about that, what we've seen with regard to that business is that other sections of Florida moving south from where we did most of our business over the last two or three years are sort of catching on as well. And we're doing very, very well in Tampa and Orlando, and actually even more recently established a footprint in Jacksonville. And those markets are doing well as well.
What's driving that?
Probably the biggest thing that we've seen is that, and it may be driven by the technological revolution as it relates to Wall Street. You know, all of the financial institutions and people who are related to or in the financial services business don't need to be sitting at a desk down on Wall Street anymore. So lots of these companies are starting to move to more attractive places in the country to live and doing business through the use of technology. And Miami is a living, breathing example of that. We're starting to see financial companies spreading their wings in South Florida like we've never seen before. So we see a fair amount of that. We're also very active in cats and dogs kinds of service and manufacturing companies throughout all of South Florida, many of whom 10 or 15 years ago were small family businesses that, as a result of the growth of that market, have grown into substantial companies with a substantial number of employees. And as those companies grow, whether they're FBO operators out of the airports, or food importers or exporters, or other companies that sort of defy description. We're seeing across the board health in all these businesses.
One place that 2016 is going to be different when it comes to real estate could be the cost of cash, could be the cost of borrowing. We've seen the Federal Reserve beginning ever so slowly and ever so slightly raise interest rates for the first time in almost a decade.
It is not a fait accompli that interest rates will continue to rise in 2016. They will continue to rise if this economy continues to be robust. But I believe that at any sign that this economy is faltering, we could very well give up that 25 basis points we've just seen and possibly even go the other way.
Cost of credit is what we're talking about here, John. And as you work with your bankers in South Florida and they work with their commercial real estate clients, is cost of credit one of those concerns in 2016 that could continue perhaps to de-accelerate? That's a fancy word, right? To say slow down some of the price appreciation, the values that we saw in 2015.
That's always a possibility, but I don't think that's in the market yet, and I don't think people are making investment decisions around that issue right now. I think if we get to May or June and the Fed has moved two more times since now, that will start to get into people's decisioning. But right now, it doesn't seem to be impacting the decision process.
Let me ask you another side of the credit question, and that is the quality of the asset that BankUnited is using as collateral, the property itself. In a residential transaction, it's the value of the home. In a commercial transaction, it's the value of the building and the value of the leases if they're renting out office space or warehouse space. As you've seen the boom in prices, commercial real estate prices in 2015, does it give pause at all to bankers for BankUnited in terms of the value of that underlying asset continuing to increase in price by 8, 10, 12%? Are you beginning to slow down that appreciation calculation?
So far, we do not see these things getting into the appraisal issue. Appraisals are still coming in very strongly. But certainly, as time goes by, we are continuing to be more and more interested in seeing what happens. One would not expect these values to continue to appreciate at this rate indefinitely. So we are very attendant and attentive to seeing where this goes, and we're watching it very carefully. That's just not, by the way, not just BankUnited, all banks are doing the same thing.
You're speaking like a veteran banker there with a very guarded language, John.
Yeah, sorry.
let me ask you, as your bankers kick the tires of some of those commercial buildings, has that process changed? Has it gotten more or less scrutiny as the residential side has because of the Great Recession?
Yeah, without question. We parenthetically, the whole industry, I think, in banking is being more and more careful about this thing, trying to not repeat the mistakes of the past. But remember that while it is a fair statement that these values have gone up, they were decimated going back to 2007. So they were really at very, very low levels and are just coming back up to where one might expect to see these levels go at a time like this, given the backdrop of the relatively healthy economy. Now, look, we're all very anxious to see what's going on here as the price of oil heads toward the 20s and as the stock market begins to correct itself and China seems to be falling apart. There are lots of things to worry about. By the way, we worry about them all every night. But again, we're not seeing anything glaring that would give one pause. But I think everyone would agree that we are deep into an economic cycle that's been very impressive over the last 7 or 8 years, and it is time to be cautious.
Let me pile on those concerns a little bit, John, for South Florida especially. Brazil in an economic recession, right? The economy is shrinking there. Argentina barely growing. Venezuela in an outright depression. Peru, Chile have slowed down considerably. Mexico still of some concern. All of these places had been places, sources of capital in banker speak, right? These were places where people were bringing, taking their money out of and bringing it into the real estate market here in South Florida.
Yeah. But that's a double-edged sword, because as some of these countries destabilize, we do continue to see actually an increase in the in capital flowing north toward the United States. So while you're right, the countries you mentioned are certainly having their issues, not likely to be celebrating their country's success right now. But in some respects, that helps to feed growth into Miami and other parts of Florida.
John, you also have a unique look into this market because of the banking interests of Bank United in the Northeast, specifically in the New York area and Long Island area. We've talked a lot about the influence of Latin America here. What about the domestic interest in South Florida commercial real estate? In other words, investors or owners from outside of South Florida looking to put money to work in this commercial real estate market.
Yeah, that's one of the most impressive things, that after the Brazilians really led off that investment binge in South Florida, it got the attention of a lot of parts of this country and investors in a lot of different areas, and specifically New York. I mean, we have a lot of our New York customers that I've banked for 30 and 40 years that have found their way to South Florida. I spend a lot of time in sort of the Sunny Isles area and Bal Harbour and up and down that strip, and there's an awful lot of New York money behind the development of those areas. We see a continued interest on the part of New York developers in parts of South Florida.
You talk about caution a little bit, John. Quantify that a little bit more if you can. You've gone through a lot of real estate cycles, a lot of economic cycles, a lot of banking cycles.
Yeah, don't remind me, Tony.
Every one of them is different, though, as you very well know. History only rhymes. It doesn't repeat.
That's right. And they're all driven by the same thing. And I've probably been through four or five bad ones since 1976 when I started running a bank. But they're all driven by the same thing, and that is over-exuberance, overzealousness, and people forgetting that there's two sides to the story, and beginning to believe that values can't correct themselves. And we see that in stocks, and we see that in real estate, and we see that in other assets. We're watchful. But what's happening this time is there's a lot of alarm bells that are already ringing out. The regulators are cautiously advising banks to be careful about this. Economists are already starting to warn that straight up may not be forever. And I view that positively, because it's a sobering experience, and I think it's gotten people to start looking at this hopefully early enough.
John Canis, Chairman and CEO of Bank United. He's the banker in our banker, builder, buyer trio, talking about commercial real estate in South Florida. So still to come on the program, the builder.
The most important thing for us is that people believe in the future of Miami. People don't buy a kitchen or a bathroom from Related or a nice rendering of a building. The first thing I need to convince an Argentinian or a Brazilian is to move his money from Argentina, from Brazil, from Venezuela, or from Spain, or from France to Miami. And that's a bet on the growth of Miami.
This is the Sunshine Economy, the banker, builder, and buyer, commercial real estate in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Earlier, we heard the banker, John Canis, CEO at Bank United, express cautious confidence the commercial real estate boom can at least continue for another year in South Florida. It takes a lot of confidence to put a shovel in the ground for one of these projects, since it can take a couple of years at least before they're finished, In the condominium and apartment market, that's a couple of years of carrying the risk of whether or not buyers are in the market. Can they get mortgages if they need them? Will the economy continue to create new jobs, leading to new workers, new paychecks, and new demand to call South Florida home? Will we continue to be a magnet for foreigners looking to escape or diversify out of their home countries? The Related Group knows these risks. It is the largest condo and apartment builder in the region. The developer has more than 20 projects rising from the South Florida soil this year. It expects to deliver 9,000 condominiums and rentals in 2016. Carlos Rosso is the president of the condominium division of the Related Group.
The important thing is to really understand that there is a marathon here in Florida, and this is not a 100-meter chase as it was before. We have buyers buying properties with big deposits with very little leverage. So I think we are going to have slowdowns, and we are going to have parts of the race where we're going to race faster than other ones. Years are going to be a little bit more active than other ones. But I think the outlook is great for Florida.
2015, I think, arguably could have been a year that started off as the sprint, but as the year wore on, perhaps we got a little bit tired, still moving forward, but slowed down in that pace of increase in terms of price increase. Do you expect that to continue?
I think that's a good sign. You know, I think it's a good sign that the market is a market that where buyers are really doing their due diligence. You know, they are taking their time and they're analyzing jobs. They're comparing projects. And yes, the market has become a lot more competitive. It has become more competitive for us. And as I said before, because of the issue of the currency, yeah, it has slowed down a little bit. But at the same time, that's good for us, you know, for Related in particular. It's good. It cleans the market. You know, there are going to be some jobs that are not going to move forward because developers don't get to the level of pre-sale that they need to get to. And I think that at the end of the day, without affecting the overall market, is a good sign of maturity in a market that is mainly cash.
A maturity of a market, especially in Miami, that has behaved somewhat like an adolescent for many, many years. Very volatile. Big highs, high highs, and really low lows. Are you
yes.
saying perhaps we're smoothing some of those out?
Yeah, we are smoothing. You know, we are graduating, you know, from our MBA now. instead of being that adolescent, you know, now we are, you know, that person that sort of thinks twice about doing things before. And I think all the developers in general are a lot more conscientious about the necessity to get to this level of pre-sales faster. And that I think it's going to dictate the size of the jobs, the location of the projects, and who is going to launch the next project, and who is going to be successful and who is not going to be successful. And I think that's the reality of life, you know, that before we were all in this sort of foam, you know, in this effervescence of a market where everybody thought, oh, this is very easy, you know, we do a brochure, we put a sales center and the project sells out. Good morning, you know.
Right.
The reality is not really like this, you know, it's a tough market and only the very well capitalized developers are going to succeed. And I think that's good. It sort of controls itself.
We can't talk about that effervescence or perhaps a bit more sobriety without mentioning foreign investors. You've talked about the strength of the dollar perhaps retarding some of the growth that we've seen over the past year or so. That's a stronger dollar against the Brazilian currency, against the Argentinian currency, against a lot of Latin American currencies, the Colombian currency and whatnot, slowing down, making U.S. properties more expensive for those buyers that are making their money or have their money in those currencies. Does that mean that the foreign buyer is becoming less influential for building products from the Related Group that it had played that role in the past?
We were just this morning, you know, talking with George,
George Perez, the chairman, the CEO.
Which were the next countries that we were going to visit, you know, to promote our projects. And we still travel to the same locations.
What's on the itinerary?
We still go to Mexico, we go to Argentina, we go to Brazil, go to Colombia. We're going to Spain now. We're trying to do, you know, more promotions in Spain. I think the issue with the dollar sometimes is a shock effect, you know, for these economies. You know, the Brazilians suddenly now are at 4.50 to the dollar. The Argentinians, you know, which before were at 9, now are closer to 13, 14. And that becomes very soon, you know, in a couple of months, that will become the new normal for those economies. You know, people will forget that the real was one day at 2.50 or 2 to the dollar, or that the peso was at 1.
Yeah, for the American, imagine if the 50 cents in your pocket is now essentially buying, is now worth a quarter.
Yes.
That's what's happened for those foreign buyers.
Yes. Yeah. So again, most of these economies are going to grow because as the dollar strengthens, they can export more goods to the U.S. You know, the wheat that is grown in Argentina or the steel that is produced in Brazil is cheaper now to produce in Brazil. So in dollar effects, you know, it's more income for those Argentinian or Brazilian families. So the moment that becomes a new normal, people start buying again. Now everybody's into a little bit of a shock. You know, again, the devaluation of the Chinese currency this week. You know, there's a couple of things that are a little bit, moving a little bit the market. But again, I think that the important thing is to realize that this is a city that is very young. It's a city that doesn't have really 100 years old. It's a city where most of its residents are first generation of residents. I came here 15 years ago. You know, I have all my kids here, and now they're all Americans, and they're growing in Miami, and hopefully they will love Miami as much as I do, and Miami will continue growing and improving.
I didn't hear China on your itinerary of countries you plan on visiting to promote the related group.
I think China, we are seeing a lot of money coming from China. We are seeing a lot of investors coming from China. We're seeing Chinese developers. We've seen already Chinese developers in New York, and Chinese banks also in New York, and they're coming more and more to Florida. We're actually in discussions with the biggest Chinese bank to do a project together here in Miami. Mm.
We residentially oriented?
Yeah.
A condominium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Chinese buyers, and I think Chinese buyers will come. The main issue is the direct flights from China. You know, nobody wants to really stop in Dallas and then fly to China from Beijing. So the moment that we have and we open those doors with direct flights, which is, again, just a matter of time, I think we are going to see Chinese buyers, because we've seen indications. There's a lot of Chinese students in Miami, and we've done a couple of conferences to these Chinese students, and their parents have bought in Miami. So they love Miami for the obvious reasons. You know, the main one, surprisingly, is the quality of the air of Miami.
Well, for anybody who's been to Beijing, they can certainly understand
that.
Yeah.
So they love, you know, the weather, the beaches, the ocean. And I think it's just a matter of time. The moment that we figure out the direct flights, you know, they're going to come.
Let me ask you, just speaking about the air quality reminds me of the environmental concerns. And we've heard a lot more talk about sea level rise threat and climate change and building on the waterfront, which are, of course, also the most highly valued and highest priced and usually highest price appreciating assets that the related group has and others. Is that figuring into the calculus, into the design that you're working with the architects and the materials that you're using for these buildings?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we are cognizant of the problem, and we try to address it in different ways. You know, from a regulatory standpoint, you know, we have to build the buildings at a certain elevation. You know, the livable spaces in all our buildings, I think, start at 14 feet from the actual seawall or seawater.
Are you
level.
Going above those levels in some cases?
No, we have to start. Our livable spaces start at that level. Mm-hmm. So we have 14 feet to the water level for our first livable spaces. And at the same time, you know, we want to try to address that. You know, we've created a thesis group at University of Miami that is studying Biscayne Line, which is a project that we sort of, an initiative of Related, to create a public park that at the same time would help to address some of those issues of seawater rise from Brickell all the way to the Design District.
This is a waterfront park.
It's a waterfront
idea
park.
That would go along Biscayne Bay on the waterfront of the mainland.
Yes. And so we think that Miami is a great city that needs to reinforce.
As a builder, you've seen a lot of increase in demand for your product since the bottom of the Great Recession in 2010, 2011. You've seen also a significant job growth in building. Construction jobs in the state of Florida have increased by 25 to 30% compared to the bottom of the Great Recession. What kind of pressures are you seeing on construction costs as a big builder of residential properties?
I think that 2016 is going to be an interesting year because, as we said before, because of all these pressures on currencies and in a certain way, you know, less demand because of the cost of real estate, we are going to see maybe not a slowdown, but maybe, you know, the subcontractor market, which is really the market that pushes prices up or down depending on how much booked they are. You know, if your plumber already thinks that he's going to do 6 towers next year, you know, his prices are going to go up because he says, hey, I already have what I need. So if those projects don't start to materialize, you know, prices start to normalize again. And I think, again, if once prices start to normalize, you can start offering product at a cheaper price and the cycle continues, you know, the marathon continues.
Yeah, so you think that marathon continues to move forward here but slows down, and that is going to have that trickle-down effect on the prices, the contractors, the subcontractors, the plumbers, the electricians, the HVAC folks are able to get at developments that you and others are putting in the ground.
That's what's happening. You know, remember the bookings.
So wages could be flat to down.
Wages on the construction side, yes. You know, Miami keeps growing on other aspects, and that's one of the big challenges that we have as a city. You know, how do we create a wealthier salary base in Miami? How do we attract, you know, the Fortune 500 companies to come to Miami? How do we create more, more cultural life that attracts people to move to Miami and create better jobs? And I think 2016, we're going to see, for example, big announcements on office buildings in downtown Brickell, which I think is very positive. Again, you know,
any of those related to the related
very
companies?
Very
close. any announcements you'd like to make today?
No. So,
but to get back to this idea of construction pay, construction worker pay, which is one of the tent poles of the local and regional economy, tourism and building. Construction jobs traditionally have paid pretty well, certainly better than the hospitality industry traditionally has paid. But your anticipation is some of that pay could be leveling out in 2016, maybe even perhaps go down slightly because the demand is going to slow down.
I don't see it as drastically as affecting the pay of the plumber and the guy who's holding the wrench. I see it more as the owners of the subcontractors adjusting the margins in the profits of their companies. Less profits because they will need more jobs. Mm. You know, will they have the ability to negotiate better rates with the plumber or with the electrician? I don't know. I don't think so. I think 2015 and 2014 have been very healthy years for all the subs. They come to our parties and they're all very happy. You know? but I think it's going to become more competitive. You know, they're going to be competing between themselves for more jobs.
Carlos Rosso, president of the condominium division at real estate developer The Related Group. He represents the builder of our banker, builder, buyer trio this hour inside commercial real estate in South Florida. So still to come, the buyer.
South Florida is one of our sort of strategic target markets. We do plan to be active in South Florida.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. When Mike Fisk goes shopping for real estate, he carries with him a lot of experience stretching across the country. He also has a big checkbook. Fisk is responsible for investing money on behalf of financial services giant TIAA Creft. He invests in regional shopping malls throughout the United States. He also has to decide what to buy and sell in the Southeast for retail, office, industrial, and residential real estate. Those are the four major property categories in commercial real estate. His territory stretches from Washington, D.C. to Texas to Florida. He's based in Charlotte, North Carolina.
South Florida is one of our sort of strategic target markets. We are we'll be looking for all four property types here in South Florida in 2016. We're also exploring student housing as a potential sector to invest in. And so I think Florida has some universities that would be very interesting. So that's something that you may see. But we do plan to be active in South Florida, and as well as our other key markets of New York and San Francisco. We tend to concentrate the vast bulk of our investments in the gateway core markets that tend to perform well in good and bad times, and also have a lot of liquidity, and we have and sort of offer some of the dollar denominations that we look for. We're a large investor, and our average transaction size, tends to be sort of on the large side.
A lot of commas is what you're trying to say in the purchase price. Yeah, a lot of commas.
Yes.
And when you're talking about liquidity, a lot of buyers and sellers. If you're not happy with the property, or if you feel that the valuation price appreciation has increased beyond what you're comfortable with holding, there's plenty of buyers in line behind you and willing to take that off your hands. I would imagine after just announcing that you're interested in South Florida in 2016, brokers that maybe you don't work with are likely to call your office over the next several days, or try to figure out a way to get to you and your team. What do you anticipate encountering as you get on a plane and spend more time down here? And what neighborhoods are you looking to add to, and perhaps maybe even places where you're looking to sell?
In terms of neighborhoods, I mean, I would say that we probably, given who we are, you could probably guess the areas that we really like. I mean, we really like, obviously, for office, we like Brickell Avenue in downtown Miami. We own two large Class A buildings in downtown Miami, or on Brickell Avenue. We own 701 Brickell and 801 Brickell, which are great assets and probably be very long-term holds for us. We also own about 1 million 4 square feet out at Waterford at Blue Lagoon, right across the highway from the Miami International Airport. And that project has also done very well for us. And we just broke ground last week or 2 weeks ago on a 10-story office building in the Waterford Park. So that's for those that know it, it's considered perhaps the no offense to anybody in Orlando or Tampa, but perhaps the best suburban office park in the state of Florida.
Mike, walk me through a tour that you go on, the kind of kicking the tires for a property that a broker is showing, or something that you've spotlighted in South Florida and have expressed interest in. How does that work?
Sure. There's probably like four or five brokers that really handle a lot of institutional sales, and we maintain good relationships with all of them, spend time with them when we're down here, see them at conferences, et cetera. We also contact property owners directly. We have relationships with a lot of people directly, and sometimes somebody will approach us directly and say, "Hey, would you like to buy this asset, or would you like to joint venture on this asset with us?" So once we've identified a property and we've talked to our portfolio managers and determined that it actually fits in one of the portfolios, we will arrange for a site inspection, and we'll come down and we will meet with the property owner and manager and the broker, if there is one, and we will basically do a pretty, couple-hour tour of the property. We'll walk all of it that we can. If we can, we'll get up on the roof. And if we're not really familiar with the particular area, we'll drive around the area, walk around the area, and really spend time there, and then we'll start to put numbers to paper and try to see if it appears to make sense financially. The process from start to finish to acquire a commercial real estate asset is probably at least a 90-day timeline from start to finish. And there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into acquiring a large commercial asset.
Mike, walk me through a couple or maybe one of the recent transactions that you guys did here. How would you describe that piece of property and describe why TIA of Creff found it attractive to be the buyer of?
Yeah, so the one that I thought might be interesting to talk about, because it's the most recent one that we acquired last summer, is called the Manor at Flagler Village. And it's a multifamily project that's in Fort Lauderdale. It's located right on Federal Highway, about half a mile north of Los Olas and right across the street from a fresh market. And this is a property that had just completed construction. It was finalizing its lease up. It has a little bit of retail on the ground floor. And what we liked about this was, first of all, we liked the location. It's just north of Los Olas and downtown Fort Lauderdale, so it really appeals to the millennial population that wants to sort of live and work close to the urban core. I believe it's a seven-story mid-rise. It's got all the bells and whistles that a new luxury apartment has today, including a really, really cool pool area and granite countertops, and it's just a very, very nice project. So the quality of the construction was very good. It's new, so it doesn't have maintenance issues. It's going to be relatively easy and predictable to operate for the foreseeable future. We think that Fort Lauderdale has a good long-term potential in terms of urbanization. It's not Miami, but it's a good alternative to Miami. There are a lot of people that prefer living up in Broward, or if somebody has a roommate or a spouse situation where one person works in Miami and the other person works up in Boca or Palm Beach, it's a perfect location. It's very close to the beach. It's close to the Galleria Mall. They're putting in a trolley nearby.
What are your expectations for that property for you as the investor?
So that property was bought as a long-term hold. We will probably hold it for at least 10 years. That's the expectation that we have. For multifamily, we want to really be where, there are a lot of demand generators, where it's close to work, it's close to retail amenities, it's close to transportation, and where we think the location is going to stand the test of time and not only be a good location today, but be a good location in 10 years. So, downtown Fort Lauderdale is certainly one. We bought another property last year up in Coconut Creek, right adjacent to Parkland, which is a very affluent area. And we bought a property in Plantation a couple of years ago. So, there's a lot of good areas in Broward. And in Dade, we bought a multifamily property a few years ago down in Coral Gables, right adjacent to the Merrick Park Mall. And we'd like to buy more in Miami-Dade, but there just hasn't been that many really good Class A institutional properties that have been available for sale.
Let me go back to the manor here in Fort Lauderdale. This was a deal that you guys purchased this past summer of 2015. Is that right?
That's correct.
About $150 million is what you paid for it. It's 6 months in. Any idea what the valuation is now?
I actually do not know the answer to that question, but I think the value is, my guess would be it's at least at or higher than what we paid for it.
Given the volatility that South Florida has seen when it comes to its real estate market, both residential and commercial, a pretty significant bust in the early 90s, obviously a big bust in residential and a significant slowdown in the 2000s with the Great Recession. What is your guidance to kind of the residents here that are clearly invested both personally as well as financially in the boom and bust cycle that South Florida historically has seen, going all the way back to the 1926 hurricane, which helped bring on the Great Depression a couple of years earlier in South Florida than it did compared to the rest of the nation?
The only thing I can say is that you have to really be aware that everything is cyclical. I mean, the economy is cyclical, real estate markets are cyclical, and I think people just really need to be prudent in terms of managing their personal financial situation. You know, you have to be able to weather some bad times. South Florida is doing well now. It's going to go through a downturn at some point in the future, and that downturn will probably be followed by another upturn that, you know, hopefully prices will be even higher than they were at the peak of this upturn.
But for now, Mike Fisk looks to buy more property in South Florida. He is senior director and manager with financial services firm TIAA Kreft, where he helps make commercial real estate investment decisions. He's the buyer of our banker-builder-buyer combo focused on commercial real estate here in South Florida. Still to come, it's the unavoidable question everyone eventually asks when it comes to real estate in South Florida. Are we in a
bubble?
Bubble.
Bubble.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. We've been talking with a banker, builder, and buyer of commercial real estate to get their sense of the South Florida market. 2015 was a big year. There were more than a dozen deals for office, retail, or apartment buildings of at least $100 million or more. The enthusiasm for real estate can't help but remind us we're not that many years removed from the previous real estate bust, although that bust was concentrated in residential real estate. Still, it begs the question for our banker, builder, and buyer, is South Florida commercial real estate in a bubble? First up, the banker, John Canis, chairman and CEO of Bank United.
There's no evidence of it. Are the values higher than they were 6 months ago and a year ago? Yes. But is there still a lot of demand for commercial real estate in our market? Yes. So while one could easily make the case that a bubble could develop in this market, as it could in other asset classes in other parts of the country, we don't see it yet.
Now, in this cycle, we are building less.
That's Carlos Rosso, president of the condominium division at our builder, the Related Group.
Right, we're building a lot less units. Why? Because before it was a lot easier to find buyers to pony up with 20% deposits. Now we have to get 50% deposits. So my width of buyers has suddenly shrunk, and I'm only focusing the guys who can really close with 50% deposits. We are not allowing anybody to flip their contracts before the building is finished, which is also a huge change. And the banks are being a lot more stringent with the lending.
Finally, the buyer, Mike Fisk, with financial services firm TIAA Kreft.
It appears to be fairly priced on a relative basis. So we don't really see a bubble in the commercial real estate area right now.
We'll call it cautious confidence that the good times can last at least for now, but also with a tacit acknowledgement it can't last forever, a more sober perspective. Wanda Miles is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.
Tiny bubbles airline make me happy. Make me happy.